Time right now is 8:30. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. This morning, you can see my three handsome young guests on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. Again, my name is Colin Worthington. We're joined by the Aggressive Criminal Enforcement Unit. This morning with us to my right, we have Chad Taylor. In the middle, we have Jeremy McCormick. He's with the Carroll County Sheriff's Office. And Kyle Jones sitting to my left. Kyle and Chad are with the Carrollton Police Department, but they are part of this big unit that we call the Aggressive Criminal Enforcement Unit. Gentlemen, good morning. Kyle, don't you get too comfortable, buddy. You get closer to that
mic. Good morning.
All right, good morning. Remind us. I mean, you know, I said it is a group. It's different municipalities, police departments get together for this. But you know, tell us about the AC unit, the Aggressive Criminal Enforcement Unit.
So, ACE is a joint between the Carrollton Police Department, the Carroll County Sheriff's Office, and the University of West Georgia. Our main focus being narcotics, gangs, and violent crimes. And we serve the entire county.
And I'm still fascinated when I hear gangs, you know, when I hear that we do have gangs. I mean, obviously, we've talked enough on this show. We've done enough stories to realize we do have gangs. And you know, more than one is a problem. It's enough of a problem. But what are we seeing out of the gangs locally? Is it still just moving drugs? Is it violence?
I would say, it's kind of an ebbs and flows. But a lot of our gang activity is driven by the sale of drugs. We're seeing that more. I think that that drives a lot of our violence. But the collaboration between different gangs, you don't just see these hard lines of Bloods and Crips and that kind of thing. Now it's a little bit more focused on money and just pushing those drugs.
And when we say gangs, I mean, it's what is the definition of that? What do we consider a gang?
Well, it's three or more using the same signs, symbols, monikers that conduct criminal activity. I mean, it's not illegal to be in a gang, but it's illegal to conduct criminal activity in a gang. And that's what makes you a criminal street gang. That's the things that we focus on. It's not the Boy Scouts that all dress alike. It's we start driving after those that sell drugs that poison our community.
Do we still see them doing things on YouTube and Facebook? They still communicate that way? Maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I remember it was still out there. You still see them on YouTube? And
they do. I think it's a... I think it's something they're proud of. I think you start to see that. I think social media is such a big part of our society right now in our culture that, I mean, you're not going to get away from that until there's the next big fad. But social media is here to stay. It's how we communicate. It's how youth communicate. Snapchat, there's a lot of ways to do it now, but I think it's going to be a stay here.
Hey, I don't want to throw it. Well, yeah, I do want to throw this at you. Carrollton Police, they put out a press release maybe last week about getting the community more involved in the Flock camera systems. Are you familiar with them? I mean, obviously, you're familiar with the Flock camera systems, but I mean, Blake Hitchcock was the contact for that.
He is. He drives a lot of the train on a lot of the Flock stuff. So what can happen now is you can integrate, if your cameras are compatible, you can integrate those in our Flock system, and we actually have access. There's several businesses. There's several apartment complexes that where your private cameras integrate. So ultimate goal is to have a real-time crime center where we have people that can watch cameras, and they give real intel to these officers responding to calls. And it also gives intelligence after the fact. So if you have a shooting, we have that recorded. We can preserve that for evidence. I think that's going to be enormous moving forward. It's going to help us be more effective. It's going to help us be safer. And biggest thing, it's going to be a huge deterrent.
Yeah. Once you get the word out that that's happening, yeah. You can use those doorbell cameras for even things like just seeing a car maybe leave six houses down the road, what time they would have left if they'd have robbed that house, mm-hmm. right? Six houses down the road.
And if you remember, we Kyle utilized it on the series of armed robberies of the Walgreens and the pharmacies a few years ago it was like 21 robberies. We were able to solve it using Flock and cameras from businesses. But we had to go to each business to pull those cameras to kind of recreate this guy's travel pattern. But what this would do is for the companies on board, you can sit at his desk and have this in minutes and have just this instant response, which is going to improve our response for arrest and prosecution, and it's going to make a cleaner product at the end. Because our ultimate goal is to make these really, really good cases. We want to We want our solvability rate to be 100%, but we want our prosecution to be 100% as well. So I just think that these are going to be – this is the move. It's the way of the future.
Yeah, this image of Blake sitting in a room, just around a room with like 56 monitors up.
It's kind of what his desk looks like now. But, we hope that that would be nice, you know, to really have that real-time crime center. That will be – I think that that is probably attainable for us at the rate we're going.
Carroll County Aggressive Criminal Enforcement Unit, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. How many, you know, when you think about the cases you guys are investigating, I mean, how often does a new case pop up to be, I mean, you're getting tips, right? How frequent do you get tips, and then how often are you starting new cases?
Weekly.
Yes.
I mean,
daily, hopefully.
Yeah, information. So, I mean, every case starts with information. So we get intel, whether it's from, you know, the tip line that's anonymous, whether it's from somebody calling the police department at our office number and speaking with us on the phone, whether it's an email that we get from one of the patrol guys that maybe makes an encounter or an arrest on the street and they get some information from someone, whether it's interviews that we do with people that have been arrested or, you know, are involved with you know, or in a pinch and want to talk with us or whatever. Either way, every case starts with information, and that's happening almost daily. So I would say just about every day that we work, we're getting information on new cases, new targets. And so we filter that information, and not all information's, you know, credible. So we have to do our part as investigators to determine if that information is actionable, if it's credible, if it's good information. Just because they tell me Colin Worthington's involved in drug trafficking doesn't mean I can come to Colin Worthington's house, right? So we have to build probable cause. We have to build our case, our investigation, but that's just the starting point. So every case starts with that info, and that's happening daily. So we're having to filter that, look into it, investigate it. There's certain tactics that we have to use as investigators to build probable cause, right? So and I'm not going to give away tradecraft, but I mean, we have certain investigative techniques that we, you know, follow, and it's pretty much a standard list of tactics that we have to do to investigate drug trafficking, right? But, you know, it all depends on that information. So some places, every case is going to be different. Some people are, you know, where the dealer goes to people and delivers, kind of like if you think like Amazon, you know, where a customer would order that product, that dealer would deliver it and be mobile in a vehicle. They don't want people coming to their residence because that heats up their house, that alerts police even quicker, right? And then you still have the old school trap houses where it's a drug house. And those are a little easier for us to work because all the customers are going to that, it's like a retail shop, right? So all the customers are going to that one location to buy their product. But again, it's all information, you know, dependent on the information that we get through the different sources that we get it. And it's just up to us to pick the right tactic that's going to solve that case for us.
You talk about the trap houses. I mean, occasionally you'll see something on Facebook where somebody's like, you know, I've complained about this house or obviously at the end of my street and there's obviously something going on. I've called the police and they're not doing anything. I mean, how long does that take? What all does it take to prove? You know, even though somebody may look at that house and think they know exactly what's going on, what all do you guys have to go through to take that to the point that you want to, you know, you can arrest them? And
so I think he touched on it there, but a lot of every tip we try to make actionable, but not every tip is actionable. That's one thing. You'll get a tip, and we kind of separate them whether they're, do we get a tip on a person? Do we get a tip on a place? Do we get a tip on a person and a place? But to move on those, to realistically, like, we may have surveillance up on it. We may watch the house. We may try to clock traffic to establish what that is. And sometimes they're just hangouts that maybe not necessarily be drugs. Sometimes people just, they hang out, they're loud. But we try to mitigate that with investigative techniques. But I would say sometimes we try to watch those things for if we want to move on it as fast as possible. So if it's something we can gather intelligence on and we can hit it in a week and shut that down for the community, we do that. But sometimes it may take a month. It may take 6 weeks. It may take 2 months. We just come off a case that they've been working since May. But to do that the right way, I mean, we shut down a guy. It was Kyle Marshall's case that's bringing 20 to 40 kilos a month into Carroll County. So to put a timeline on it, I think it's almost impossible. I think it's case to case. You know, some cases we get a complaint and we may know the person and we go up, knock on the door, and we can shut it down the next day. And then some guys are a little more complex. Sometimes
20 to 40 kilos, what is that as far as, you know, how many people is that supplying for how long and what's the price on that street?
That's a lot. So if you're talking a kilo of meth, I mean, we're looking at $45,000 is what we seized in a short time. But, you know, he's buying it for $3,000 to $4,000 and distributing it out in the streets for, you know, $300 an ounce. So that's it's supplying a lot of people. We know for a fact he had four or five distributors that we hit working our way to it. So I think that that's that'll be probably a case I'll probably let these guys talk about a little bit. I don't know that they've done a release on it yet or what it is, but because it's not there's a lot of moving parts with it.
There'll be other people associated with the
potential. Yeah, but there's a the thing is the impact we had, I think those on the community. When you can take a guy that's moving that kind of dope into this community, that's an impact. And that's what our goal is to really have that direct impact to slow this down.
Before we take our first break and come back and spend the rest of the show with Jeremy, how much is how many hands do you think, like when drugs start out, when they're developed or produced, how many hands do those drugs go through before they reach Carroll County? You know, whether they're produced in Mexico or Maine or California or whatever, how many different groups or people are touching that before it actually lands to the point to where it's ingested?
I would say it depends on the dealer that we get, right? So we have, generally speaking, the most of our investigations are those mid-level dealers, right, that are selling maybe ounces of meth or ounces of you know, cocaine or whatever at a time. So to get to the kilo level dealers, like Chad's talking about, one of our recent cases, those people, it starts with the cartel, right? So they're the first ones to have their hands on it. Specifically meth, fentanyl, cocaine, any of that's coming through the cartel into the U.S. So it gets from the cartel to Atlanta, and the cartel is a business. They have business all over Atlanta. And so that's a main hub for the Southeast. So our close proximity to Atlanta means that we do have dealers within our community here locally that can go straight to Atlanta. And if they're connected enough and have enough money, you know, and they're on that level, that they can deal directly with the cartel. So potentially your question, it could go through two sets of hands, right? Cartel to the guy that lives out here that's on that level. We've seen that. Generally speaking, it's going to go through about three or four different levels. So it's going to go from a wholesaler that buys it from the cartel in Atlanta, brings it back out here or near one of our surrounding counties, and then they're going to distribute larger amounts than we would normally see to the dealers who sell those ounces at a time. So the people that buy a quarter of a kilo, a half of a kilo at a time, and then they live in Carroll County and they're going to sell ounces at a time. So potentially you're looking at three to four steps generally to get to that cartel level. But we have seen cases where we have people dealing directly. You know, it's a two-level process from somebody that lives here in our community dealing directly with the cartel, buying large amounts at a time. And those investigations generally require, a bigger effort of investigation dealing, you know, with the GBI's West Metro Drug Task Force, the DEA. So generally when you get to that type of level, you're going to be working with other agencies, other larger agencies for the, you know, not just the ACE unit. But like I said, we have seen that. But generally speaking, it's going to go through about three to four different levels of drug dealers.
All right, real quick, I mean, I've got 57 questions. We could talk for 5 hours. Are you aware of people – you know, we talk about it being a business. I mean, are people actually moving into Carroll County so they can start this, you know, so they can sell drugs?
Well, hopefully that's our whole point of the ACE unit is to
I hope they move out of preventative.
I hope that,
if they live someplace else and they say, you know what, I'm a drug dealer, so this county, that this market's not being tapped, let me move to Carroll County so I can set up shop and do everything.
I think that one thing that we want it to be unacceptable here. We want business to be more difficult here to conduct, which is our goal, and I think we have an impact directly by doing that. So, no, I don't think people are moving in just to sell here. I think they move out because we make it more difficult here.
Well, they see those biceps, too.
Yeah, on Jeremy, yeah.
All right, time right now is 8:45. We're going to take our first break, come back and continue our conversation with the ACE unit. We are on the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. So if you have any questions or comments, any direction you want this conversation to go, feel free to post those to the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I will share them with my guests when we come back. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice program. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest this morning with the Aggressive Criminal Enforcement Unit, I've got Chad Taylor, Kyle Jones, and Jeremy McCormick with that group. How many members are in the ACE unit?
We are slated for 9. I think right now we are currently at 8. So we have 4 with the county, 4 with the city, and 1 attached from the University of West Georgia.
There was a new law approved by legislators during this session and went to effect July 1st. It does remind me, Harrelson County tried to do something like this. I don't know how it worked out. Somebody overdosed in Buchanan, I want to say, last year. And
I believe that person pleaded guilty. I believe they got a conviction on that.
Did they plead guilty to involuntary manslaughter or something along? No.
Felony murder.
Felony murder. Okay. All right. Well, that was before this law was even in place when that happened, and Harrelson County gave it a shot and charged them with something. But the new state law that lawmakers hope addressed the state's fentanyl crisis is now a law. Austin's law, it increases the punishment for drug dealers who illegally distribute fentanyl. It's Senate Bill 465, went into effect July 1st. It does punish drug dealers if their product causes a fentanyl overdose. So under the law, the new law, these dealers could be charged with a felony. You guys actually were faced with that, with a situation like that. Has it been since July the 1st? Or
yes, we were actually the first agency in Georgia to bring a case under this new law. So what we like about the law is it makes it easier to go after the dealers that create overdose deaths. Before the law...
And that's whether they know there's fentanyl in it or not, right? Or do you have to prove that they
no.
So you don't have to prove... You don't have to prove anything. It's just got a test for the fentanyl. That the dealer doesn't have to know. They can be selling meth and it have fentanyl in it and they not know it. And then you got an overdose. That person dies. The autopsy comes back. The toxicology comes back that has fentanyl in it. You can prove that this person sold them that drug. You can go after that person with this new law.
And you know the specifics on that case? Was it? It happened after July 1st, and it was in Carroll County.
Yeah, it did. Jeremy's actually the case agent on it, and but we were able to tie 2 people up in that case itself.
Yeah. So this one happened towards the end of July. We had a overdose death here in Carroll County. The investigators went out to the scene. They found a packet of fentanyl, just a little bit of fentanyl laying beside the guy. They took it back. We tested it with our True Narc. It tested positive for fentanyl. Started doing our investigation. There was text messages in there. We were able to prove or show who he bought from. It was only messages in the phone. So we started digging into that, done a search warrant at the residence. was able to get fentanyl out of the residence. We interviewed that person, and they pretty much laid it out for us. So.
Well, you know, there's campaigns going on. There's a campaign in Carroll County, you know, media blitz. There's meetings every week, I think, with a group that's focused on making it aware. That campaign, I mean, do we see, is it making a difference? Or are people slowing up on, you know, I hear about another overdose. You know, are people hearing the message?
I think the biggest compliment that we've had in a while, to me, these guys may have other stories, but Keith Hancock said that the largest impact on the fentanyl problem in Carroll County has been the ACE unit, because we do look at these overdoses and we will chase these overdose deaths and we will do everything we can to try to figure out where it come from, because right now I think the coalitions, the fentanyl summits, when they bring awareness, it also brings a couple of things. It brings responsibility for us to react to those things. Like it holds us accountable to make sure that we are going after it aggressive, just like our name says. We are going to go after these cases aggressively. But it also, it brought the chief, Chief Richards, the sheriff, Ned Watts, it brings these guys together, and then they have a mission, and it provides resources for us to be able to attack these dealers, whether it's, he talked about a Trunoc. Trunoc's $25,000. But you can buy those things out of, whether it's drug funds or grants. So they start looking to find ways for us to do those, because they test fentanyl without us having to handle it. We can test it through the bag. It makes it safer for us. It gives you an instant response. But when you start getting into those things, and we have to be able to, they have to articulate why we have this overtime or why we have this equipment. But they provide a lot of that for us. And I think that, so in short, I think anytime we can get more awareness, it provides resources for us to go after this. And then we have guys, our DA's office locally helped write this law. So I think that is telling in itself that we are taking this to the next level. We're going to pursue people. We're going to do what we can do to try to rid this in our community, because the epidemic itself is out of hand. It just is. And one death's too many. I think Major Dodson said it best. If we know fentanyl's involved, we're moving on it. He said that the other day, and he's going to hold us accountable for that. When we get a fentanyl tip, you're moving on it. That's just the way it is. And by doing that, they've agreed we're going to provide you with these resources to do that. So I think that awareness, and I know I've circled back to it, is the key, because it gets it out there and it explains to the community why we're doing some of the things we're doing.
Well, I guess we're hoping that the awareness, I mean, gets the kids young too. I mean, even if you can't get to the people who are dealing with or who are mm-hmm. using it right now, right, or
yeah.
potentially would have access to it. I mean, you're hoping to get the kids and make, I guess, a big difference 5-10 years from now. I mean, you want to make the difference now, but I mean,
yeah,
that's,
well, And I think you're going to see that. We are going to, I think it's October, if I'm right, Kyle, that we're going to do part of Red Ribbon Week. We have been asked to come and speak to every fourth grader in the county. They have a coalition where they come through, and we get two sessions of about 30 minutes each. And, you know, really we want to make sure they know the dangers of it, but we also want to make sure they know who the good guys are.
All right. Time right now is 8:55. We'll take our final break. Come back with about 3.5 minutes on this morning's Community Voice program, brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. prepare, explore, and achieve.
To the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. This morning we are on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and if you haven't asked a question yet, it is too late. We're about to run out of time, though. Tim Hines checked in, Jessica Ferguson, Pam House, Bob Uglum, Carrie McCormick, and Bill and Beth Broom-Orbeck have all checked in watching this morning's program. So good morning to all of you guys. There was a story that we put on the news this morning. There was a bust on Elder Circle,
yeah.
Elder Square here in Carrollton. And I didn't have – I mean, I don't think I had specifics as far as how much was collected but seized, but I'm still surprised to see crack cocaine.
Oh yeah,
in any of these
crack's
arrests.
Still here.
Yeah,
it's crack is whack, man.
Is it
it's still around?
That was one of my passwords for our computer because Whitney Houston, right? Because Whitney Houston said it that one time. That was a password for my computer here for about a year. But the crack is whack. I know. But yeah. I mean, is that? I was still surprised to see that. I mean, is there people? Is that an inexpensive drug? I mean, why is that still be? Yeah, why is that still being touched on when obviously it can so many other things out there?
I believe the price has a lot to do with it. It is cheap. You know, you get that upper effect, and it's cheaper than a lot of, you know, it's cheaper than meth. It's cheaper than a lot of the other drugs to get that upper effect. And some people just prefer certain things, and they're still a customer base. Like we talked about earlier, drug dealing's a business. So you kind of have to look at it from that retail point of view. So if you have customers that are going to pay you good money, you know, our continuous flow of money for a certain drug, you're going to have it on hand to be able to sell it. So we still do see crack a lot.
Guys, we have a minute and a half left, and hopefully this will end up being a positive answer response. Out of all the people you arrest for drugs, or you come in contact who are dealing drugs, how many of them want to get off this, or how many of them are challenging you and just rather talk smack to you? I mean, you know, what's that ratio?
Go ahead.
I don't, you know, people call people snitches and things like that, right? We couldn't do our job without that piece of information. So I would say 90% of the time we get cooperation. There's always that one, you know, that 10%, it may be, it's probably less than that, to be honest with you, that's just straight up, nah, I'm going to do my bid. I ain't saying nothing. But if we want to be honest, everybody says snitches are bad and they wouldn't be a snitch, but if we're just keeping it real, 90% of those people we deal with are going to give us information, you know, when they're put in that position.
So if you're out there right now and you're working this business, think about that. Just go ahead and shut it down.
And most of the people that say they ain't snitches have snitched. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we just keep it real, I mean, we could not keep doing these busts that we do without that piece of the puzzle. So.
And the other 10% that's not snitching, normally when they get offered their deal and they don't like that deal, then that's when they... Then they want to talk.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, guys, keep up the good work, and thank you for coming to talk about it. And, you know, we like to have you guys every, you know, 3 or 4 months just to get an update. And it's always a good conversation.
Always a good time.
And I guess we'll bring Jeremy next time, and we'll have a good time. We'll try and do it again before the end of the year. But thanks a lot, and thank you for watching and listening to this morning's Community Voice program, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. High school football tonight, so I hope everybody enjoys their evening and enjoys their weekend. See ya.